Hello, everybody. What's going on? This is your boy back here, Leon, episode 183 of the Leon the Gray podcast. I hope you're having a good day wherever you are, wherever you're listening to me on. And I appreciate everyone coming over and stopping by, which foremost, I will like to say that it's been really busy. I would say, yeah, to be honest, it has been pretty busy as far as work going around on my end. But I wanted to go ahead and take a moment to record 183, because for me, it's about time to get back into talking about technology and just giving you guys what's been going on with the trends. And as far as I can see, so depend on what kind of person you are, which we will get into momentarily in today's podcast, which is pretty much about the crypto and basically about the crypto and stocks are basically down the shitter. So with many, many reasons. And also, I'd like to go ahead and disclaim right here that I do not... just because I talk about crypto and stocks does not mean you guys should take advice from me. And just a fair amount of warning is that whatever you are listening in today's podcast, please mind you that do not take any advice coming out from me, because I can always come out wrong towards the end. So don't want to sound like I'm some kind of know-it-all as far as predicting the crypto and the stocks of what will happen within down the road in the future, because for me, I'm not a fortune teller, and anything you hear is just in prediction and not advice at all. So I wanted to go ahead and make a quick disclaimer before I say anything else down the line too. Because in today's show, I will just kind of tell you what's going on in the future, especially with economics, the tech, and everything else too. And to me, there's just been a lot of news happening. I think it's going to be very exciting to get on to today and what do we need to talk about, which is basically about the crash. And basically, be prepared for the short bull market, but for the long bear market down the road. Because anyone that is looking to do anything, I'd say that is best to be prepared of what's going on. Because if you don't, you're going to get screwed. And I'll tell you right now is that the future is definitely looking bleak. But don't worry, everyone. We're going to be talking about some good stuff here in today's podcast, which I think it will be exciting to get on with the not just the bad, but the good as well, which I definitely want to go ahead and bring in a good positive spin to the show, which I figured this will be a very good for today's episode, which to me, that will be very, very good. And speaking of good, I want to let everybody know that... very soon, I'm going to be working for another part-time job, and moving forward right there. It's an early morning stock position that I'm working over at a local arts and crafts place, which is in a plaza right by my house, which I'm very excited to try something different. And to me, I will be going over and talking a little bit about technology and basically balancing both jobs, which right now it's quite of a challenge because I haven't worked two jobs simultaneously. But I'm very excited where this goes right here, especially having to work two jobs. And let's say if things doesn't roll out well, then heck, I know that something good will definitely happen if one doesn't come out well on the other side. But I'll give you enough time to keep you guys posted, basically, and see what's happening with the job situation, which definitely I am trying to save up as much before my move around middle of the summer. But yeah, Well, I'll keep you guys at it on that too. All right. With that said, let's go ahead and talk about our first in today's story, which we're gonna go ahead and do it right about now. Thank God, I'm going to keep this nice and short for my sponsorship, so I'm going to go ahead and do so right now. And today's sponsorship is Zenni Optical. And Zenni Optical, I'm sure you guys don't want to have myself tell you again and again what Zenni's is all about. And if you've not heard about Zenni's, check out Zenni's. Please do yourselves a favor. If you're still able to see, please go and grab some Zenni Optical and try them out, and they provide both prescription and non-prescription anti-blue light glasses, and something I use on a daily basis, and Zenni's is the way to go if I am working on a computer or on the mobile phone, because blue lights are everywhere, and something I encourage anyone to try out. You'll thank me later. And then next on the list is Blueberry. Blueberry has been my sponsorship since for about over 2 years, and something I do not regret at all. I love Blueberry, and something most definitely love to go ahead and try Blueberry at some point for my other podcast ideas I've had down the road. But something I will say is that Blueberry has been around for a very long time, and within a small price of $12.99. But if you use them for about 30 days and just give them a try, I'll assure you this, that you can go ahead and cancel Blueberry at any time, no strings attached, within 30 days. So what are you waiting for? If you have a podcast idea, try out Blueberry podcasting and go ahead and give Blueberry a chance. If you have a podcast idea, and go for it too. And by the way, within a month, if you like Blueberry, they offer plans from basic podcasting to advanced services. So believe me, you will love Blueberry. So give them a chance and make sure to click the link down below, so that way you'll support me through and through with that referral link that I have down in the description as well. So just to keep my sponsorships nice, short, and sweet, let's get on with today's podcast. So starting off with our very first story, I wanted to go ahead and talk about the crash of crypto and the stock market. What's been happening, especially lately in the markets. And I know that I will end up talking about and catch up what's been happening with the last several weeks, which I'm sure all of you that already heard that we've had a crash in the markets. And right now, as of right now, we are in a bear market. But just to fast forward where we are at right now, that everything as of this week, ever since now, we've just went into a brand new month, which is June. I'm sure you guys know that the stocks have been pulling up on an upward trend lately. So in that sense, it hasn't turned out to be too bad. And when I say not too bad is, I mean, everything is going up right now, but last several weeks, even around May, we've had a market that was still in pretty bad shape. I mean, again, I don't think there's nothing to be excited as of yet, because right now it is still going to continue to look very bleak in the markets, and I shouldn't be happy about it right now. In my watch list of things I'm looking over here, look, I mean, everything is in the pullback. I mean, we're looking at things that are on the green. Now, should I be 100% happy? Not necessarily happy, that is going high, but right now, if you're holding like meme stocks, look, I wanted to let you know that I wasn't the type of person that bought into meme stocks when it first came out. That's something I, as someone that's like a very novel investor, wouldn't even jump into meme stocks or something along those lines, having to hold anything that I don't know. Which to me, if you are still holding on GME, which is a GameStop stock, but for me, however, I can tell you that I'm not even sure myself if I am the kind of guy that would ever hold GameStop stocks, because the way GameStop is looking, I'm not too sure if I want to hold onto it, because the business model of GameStop, see, the weird thing about GameStop is it something that I as an investor would ever buy into right now, and how healthy is it? Well, and to tell you the truth, I don't even know if GameStop will last within 2 years, around 2024. So that's something you as an investor will have to make up for anything like that. Because I know that when around last year, around 2021, with the whole scene with the Reddit Wall Street Bet scene that happened, I'm sure everybody knows that. That was a crazy time, and when people found out that the hedge funders were basically screwing up, basically giving people bad indication about the GameStop, you know, a lot of people did their research, and you know, and how things happened since last year. But you know, and now I come to think about last year, how it all happened. To me, I don't know if anybody is going to end up buying the news again, because. That's one thing, because I know a lot of people will kind of have different ideas what they should be holding and what they shouldn't. And to me, I'm not the kind of guy that should tell people what to do with a portfolio. And to me, the funny thing with holding that into a portfolio, and here's one thing I kind of laugh and grin off, is that a lot of people will... There's actually people out there that will go out and start buying into Wall Street bets. And plus, this is like one of the top popular forums on Reddit right now. So you look at Wall Street bets, it is absolutely crazy. And to me, I'm not here. I'm not going to go in and take everything what Wall Street bets has to offer. I mean, that is a forum. I don't even think Wall Street Bets is as serious as what it used to be back when it first incarnated. You know, I do think that a lot of people are just there to kind of pull people's tail and give people bad numbers. But I know that that's not everybody in the forums, and that's not how everybody is like. Because I know that when they're going in and going into a forum such as Wall Street bets. You've really got to be careful what people are going to be doing when people are shilling, because you don't want to take advice as somebody that's just going to give you a bad numbers. That's not the way I would ever do that. Because as a smart investor, you would have to really be careful on what kind of advice you take from anybody, because. You, as a smart investor, you have to know what you're doing. And if you know that the way your stock is going to hold out down the road, I would say, yeah, go ahead and do what you want and make some quick profits, or just hold on for the long term only if it's worth it for you. And to me, I'll never let anybody or pretty much let anybody out there just to go out and listen to what I have to say. In fact, don't be influenced what I have to say. In fact, be influenced of what you're going to end up doing in your own actions. To me, I listen to friends that are into the stocks, and heck, do I 100% listen to everything what this person says? Absolutely not. To me, you have to make definitely make it one of the best informed decisions for yourself, because if you don't, you're going to end up like the rest of the sheeps out there. And I would hate for anybody to get the wrong intention, especially for people that are definitely in the stocks. And I will say that who knows how long tech stocks are going to end up well. And I can't really tell anybody how to go through it, because in fact, you have to make informed decisions that's going to go really well. And in fact, if that's something that you want to hold down into your future investments, by all means, go ahead. Because you know what? And the crazy part about last year until now is that AMC used to be a lot higher. And going forward now, AMC is $13.30 as far as I'm concerned right now. And even though Microsoft goes out and say that, well, AMC is on a bullish trend, would that make me want to go out and buy it at that point? I mean, if it's on the low, to me, it's a yes, but I really cannot speak for you. That's the one thing as well. I can't say that I really can't speak for you as someone that's out there. And in fact, I'm sure that AMC is probably doing well because, for one, it's because of the new Tom Cruise movie that just came out. Top Gun Maverick, which just came out not too long ago. I believe that was last week that just came out. I'm not too sure when the date of Maverick came, but I'm not gonna even try to look up the actual date for Maverick. But I do know that Top Gun Maverick is pretty much a big theater experience. And you know what? One thing about Maverick, I think what is a unique film, in fact, I heard from some reviewers, I haven't checked on all review on Maverick, but what I do understand is that that was a movie that's been in development for hell. I could tell you is that, one, the reason it is actually doing so well, because that's a movie that's just gone through, like I've said, gone through development hell for God knows how many years it's been. And the initial release was supposed to be around 2020, but they've had to hold that film back until they can release it in theaters first, because I'm sure that Cruise, I think whoever was the main person that did the decisions over for Top Gun, Maverick, wanted to get this out in theaters, because that's not a movie that is intended for streaming, for a stream release. It's more of a theater release, and I'm sure that's a good reason why. And to me, am I a fan of Top Gun? I wouldn't say yes. To me, I never been a big Tom Cruise fan, and I used to like Tom Cruise when I was much younger, before he went a little nuts. But regardless, that was years ago. But I do know that I wouldn't ever pay to see Tom Cruise up on a big screen. That's just me. And I know that Maverick, I'm sure that Top Gun Maverick has to do pretty well in the box office, as far as I can see. For me right now, I'm not going to put money into theaters. I mean, as the main focus, I do like to watch over on the tech sphere and what's going on, especially in the tech trends. And to me, if I had to watch on any stock, it would have to be the tech sector right now. Because look at it this way. Tech is everywhere, and there's a lot of companies growing in the United States, especially the U.S. markets. Pretty much, it's not the stocks are not pretty much the indicator of what goes on the markets, because you can't really rely on the stocks to drive you money. Now, if you hold on tons of stocks, then there are some advantage holding up on stocks into your portfolio. And unless if you're making money, then I think that's great to me. But again, stocks is not the main indicator of a growing economy. It's basically production at the end of the day, and that's where a lot of the times you have to go through what you have. You have to go through production, because that's, I mean, that's is based off a healthy economy, not the stock market. I mean, sure, you can make some gains and whatever, but it's not supposed to be the main priority focus on that too. You have to realize that too. That is not it. And right now, if you want to get in the tech sector, I would say do so right now, because I've been focusing up on other talks, especially what's been going on and what is driving. In fact, and I would say the good and the bad of what's happening, I can say is, let me start off with the bad before we get into the good, okay? And the one of the stories I've looked into for this week on June 2nd, which that is what I'm recording in today's podcast, which here in this main story written by Marianne Azevedo, I believe that's how I'm pronounce it, not too sure. So, well, anyways, we're gonna keep it short as Marianne, which she is the writer of this article, which says here, InsurTech Policy Genius cuts 25% of staff less than 3 months after raising $125 million. Now, there are some sectors of the tech world that are raising capital, which is great, but how they're laying off 25% of the staff, I don't know how that's even possible, even within less than 3 months of funding. So, we're gonna go ahead and read this here, which, by the way, I never heard about Policy Genius, but let's go ahead and start this off in our main story, which says Policy Genius, an insurtech that raised $125 million in a Series E round less than 3 months ago, has reportedly laid off 25% of its staff. The number of employees affected is not confirmed, but it is believed to be around 170, according to multiple sources. One employee posted it on LinkedIn today that he was among 25% of the staff that were let go. In a statement provided via email, Jennifer Fitzgerald, CEO and co-founder of Policy Genius, did not confirm that number, saying, as with many companies, the sudden and dramatic shift of the economy has forced us to adapt our strategy. After careful consideration, we announced the difficult and necessary decision to reduce the size of our workforce. With these changes, we remain confident in the future of our company, our continued innovation, and the excellent service we continue to provide our customers every day. This is a difficult day for us at Policy Genius, and especially for our employees who have been directly impacted. We're saying goodbye to our friends and colleagues who have, through their hard work and dedication, helped build this company and deliver on our mission for our customers. We're grateful to have their many contributions and wish them all the best. So, I really don't know what to tell you. And how they have laid off 25% of their staff, and what is going on. And they say that this is more of an economic decision, what this article is saying. Now, even though, in their defense, in TechCrunch defense, I'm sure they don't know, because since they are still trying to find out the full story of this of these companies with Policy Genius, which, by the way, I'm not too familiar with insurance tech, which is something that's been around not too long in this space. And I'm sure that they are doing something to change things, what insurance companies aren't able to do, give them cheaper rates for vehicles and so on and so forth, which I think it's great. And I do plan on going to that route right there instead of going through traditional insurance technologies like or insurance companies like State Farm, Allstate, however many insurance companies out there. Now, the big question is how much money are they really making to keep themselves up? I mean, first of all, that I can't believe after 3 months of raising $125 million. Now, that's questionable right there if insurance tech is going to do well. And I'm not even sure. In fact, I'm continuing on with this article. In fact, I'm going to actually skip through a little bit of this article and just read an important parts of this article, which I'll put the article for TechCrunch down on the description below so you guys can read most of it during your spare time. But yeah, so continuing on here, it says, in a press release, the company says Policy Genius continues to be the only tech-enabled brokerage and distribution platform to have successfully scaled and diversified across life and home and auto insurance. The company will use the new capital to continue to invest in the growth of its core business of life, disability, home, and auto insurance, as well as new no-exam life insurance offering and Policy Genius Pro. So that's one of the things that they do with Policy Genius, which, by the way, I'll end up looking more into Policy Genius. And to me, this is where I've kind of linger if this is something I would ever trust putting any initial stocks on these companies. For one, I wouldn't even put money into insurance tech right now. To me, they're a bit riskier, and they don't carry a lot of history, which to me, I wouldn't even put any stock onto insurance tech. To again, that's just me, because they're very new in the sector. I wouldn't even put it. In fact, for instance, this is what the article even mentions here, and as well, which says, for example, as my colleague Alex Wilhelm wrote in January, Lemonade, which sells rental insurance, went public in early July 2020. Root, which focused on auto insurance, went out in October of the same year. Metro Mile, also in auto insurance, went public via a SPAC in February 2021. And finally, Hippo, which focused on home coverage, went public via a blank check company in August of last year. So this is very interesting, because I've never, actually, I would say, I'll take that back. I've heard about Root. I've heard about the other company, Lemonade, which I'm not too familiar myself, because, again, I'm looking for, if I own a car myself or life insurance or whichever company, that's something I would have to look over and go and do the studies and which companies will work out best as far as keeping myself insured, because that's one thing I'd like to do at some point down the line. Because, for instance, I want to, if I ever have my, let's say, my bike stolen again, I like to have put my bike and make sure that I have insured some point down the line. Because if you are a bike owner yourself, and if you in fact, here's what I would say for any bike riders out there. If you're a bike rider listening, or if you're pretty much if you often ride your bike in the cities a lot, this is for you. In fact, I found this out. Depends on the insurance. There's actually like homeowners insurance that if you put your bike into the homeowner's insurance, and you can actually have your bike insured, so that way you can get yourself covered. So if anything were to happen down the line or something happens to it, if let's say death, for instance, death is very, very common. It's very well common in cities. And heck, I live a few minutes away from Atlanta down south. In fact, I just as an example, recently an expensive mounted Trek mountain bike just got stolen from me. In fact, I thank goodness I have a spare bike, so I can ride around from home to work with ease. But I will say that if anything were to happen to me again, I'll have make sure I have insured. It's something I like to do that and make sure that I just keep in mind that there's actually bike insurance, which I've had no idea that bike insurance was a thing, actually, which is cool. I like that a part where you could just have your bike insured if anything were to happen, and something to keep that in mind along the way. And again, the last thing I will say about insurance tech is I would ever, if I ever do something like this, or if I ever put not just invest on insurance tech, to me, I wouldn't ever make any suggestions or any or anything to persuade anyone to jump into tech stocks like that too. And that's something to be very, very careful, because just like what I've read, these stocks, when they first open up, they've actually opened up very, very low. And that's something I wouldn't even dare put money into anything like that unless you know what you're doing or what you're taking on as far as putting any initial investment to a company like that. what is important is that about this is that, first of all, Policy Genius, I will look into Policy Genius again down the future. Again, it's one of those companies that I don't think it'll ever make it right now, or perhaps maybe never, because I think as far as Policy Genius, as far as I'm aware, they're very new. Dave, Policy Genius doesn't even sound like a company that has been around for decades and decades. I mean, again, fairly new. I would be careful, especially putting into Policy Genius. Who knows? Probably they have something unique to offer and probably a better price point than the bigger insurance companies out there too. Again, don't take it from me. I would say do your research before putting anything down as far as before putting any thought into Policy Genius for by any means. But I want to go ahead and move on into the next story, which I think it is very, very important, but not so surprising for me anyhow. And now in this story, this is coming from TechCrunch as well. I know this is pretty cool if you're someone that lives in the Ohio area, Columbus, this is for you, because I know Columbus, believe it or not, I actually knew that Columbus had a big technology job scene that's been around for many decades. And now, as of here in the article, which it says, as of early 2010s, the state made investments that enabled entrepreneurs to more easily start companies. Fast forward to today, and companies of all sizes are attracting talent from all over the country, thanks in part to Columbus' low cost of living and young, skilled pool of talent. Which believe it or not, Dave had a very unique way of doing things in Columbus, which it's not really surprising, but funny enough, I actually know somebody that's from Ohio, and they've always, pretty much it's always been a state that always brought in companies in for testing products, which I've heard about that too. And what I've understood is that they've always always had Columbus as a startup hub. For some reason, that's always been the case in Ohio. Now, if you're in Ohio, this is for you. Now, if you're not the kind of person that can't really handle the cold, then I would say this may not be for you. Okay, so that's another different thing. I'll just put it out this way, because I know that Ohio isn't for everybody. I actually heard many stories about Ohio, and he said that he's better off leaving because of the weather. But if you don't mind about the cold, then like I've said, pretty much this is featured as City Spotlight, which is a big feature, right, in TechCrunch.com. And I'll have pretty much the link listed down in the show notes, so that way you can read up on Columbus, which I think it's a very interesting city to make a visit at some point. And to me, I'm not familiar with the city, but I mean, it's awesome to hear what Columbus has to offer. I mean, hey, I live in Atlanta, but I don't think Atlanta is offering a lot as far as being the a huge tech hub. I mean, it isn't. It really isn't. I mean, the only thing Atlanta is known for is the film scene, which I'm not interested by all means. I mean, I never ever think about going in and starting out to be an actor. To me, if you like films, if you like movies, then Atlanta is for you. Now, if you love tech, if you love anything that has to do with startup and with AI, then heck, go to Columbus. And I'm sure there are other cities as well. But right now, as I'm seeing right over here, this article was published since yesterday, June 1st, which I am going to read a little bit over here in this article, because I mean, this is pretty interesting. I mean, as far as Columbus here, I mean, there's been a lot of investments put into that city, which I'll start reading right here, which just says, where the Olenti of Sacto Rivers come together lies the city of Columbus, Ohio, a bedrock town famously known as Test City, USA. Boosting demographics that mirrored the country's population and the home of the Ohio State University. It is steadily becoming an emerging tech scene in the Midwest, where startups are finding all the tools needed to develop burgeoning businesses. Venture capitalists injected over $3 billion into the cities over the past 20 years, particularly in healthcare and insurance startups. According to Crunchbase data, investment into the city startups started picking up around 2017 and really picked in 2021. That's when investment initially or essentially doubled, going from $583 million in 2020 to just over $1 billion, with half of these dollars going into two companies, healthcare technology company Olive and autonomous robotic companies Path Robotics. So far in 2022, $110 million has gone into Columbus startups. So let's stop right here in this article. For me personally, I wouldn't even know what to do, because I mean, this state, or just like what it says, it's known to be a testing hub for technology, and especially a home for healthcare companies to get in. So to me, I like that, because if you're into healthcare, I mean, this is the way to go. If you want to go over and look over the opportunities that's going in Ohio. And to me, I know that's a state that's not for everybody, but you know what? If you could deal with the cold, that's fine. I love very cold temperatures throughout the winters. I don't mind it. I love snow. I love dealing with the chills, which that's fine by me. But right there, if you love what's going on and love new exploration, I mean, you look at it this way too. I mean, the one thing I could put down positively about Ohio, and if there's anything I could say about Ohio, is that for one, you're going to have a good time working in a place like in Ohio. First of all, if you're young, you're fresh, you have nothing to lose right there. And that'll be a good place if you're around the Midwest area, then by the way, go ahead and start where it's at. I mean, a lot of industries are going to end up moving into Ohio, which I could say that one of the best things about it. But to me, I don't mind the cold. To me, I'm young. And to me, if it was another option, it'd be Ohio for sure. Because right now, I look over at my decision of Florida. I mean, yes, Florida is very expensive to go through. But I do think that there's going to be a lot of crypto jobs that are going to be something that's going to be suited for me. I mean, I don't know if Columbus is going to have anything like that sold for me. Let's say if it was something to do with the crypto space, maybe so. I just don't think Columbus will be in my alley. As far as I can see, I mean, I don't know if that's something that's a city that will be a huge hit for me, because I don't know. I will say that if you're into testing products out, I mean, Columbus is the state to go. And that's from what I heard from a friend of mine. Again, I like that there's so much going on in Ohio, which to me, I had no idea. And even for me, I had no idea or anything to do with Ohio, which to me, Ohio would be something. If I was another option, Ohio would be it. And as I'm reading through this, which actually this is quite interesting. And here it says that, continue on the article, Ohio itself has become an insurance hub due to part to major insurance companies headquartered in the state, like Nationwide, Progressive, and Cincinnati Financial. And something I did not know anything about, which that's actually a very new thing on my radar. I did not know anything about that at all. Again, something you guys can look over Ohio to be a state that anyone can just jump into. Now, like I said, if you're into the Midwest or if you're into the cold and if you love testing products out, this is a perfect place for anyone that wants to try out new things like that too. Again, I don't know if Ohio would have ever been the next option if I knew anything about Ohio. But again, it is very fascinating, and it's something that if I was I don't know, much younger, I would set my sights to head over there without question. And plus, I'm sure that the homes are actually much affordable than where it's at right now in the Southeast, because the Southeast on the pricing of homes right now, it's skyrocketed. And anywhere you go, like especially trying to find good homes, not even possible at the moment. And having to find a good home is really difficult, because the way they're building homes right now in the Southeast, I don't know, it's not fun, because you look at like homes like Georgia and Florida right now, you can't even find a Goodwill home built apart, because they're making homes nowadays that they cannot even make really well. It's awful. Not even good to find a home, a good renter home that will ever last right there. But hey, who knows? Your decision right there too, if you want to pay over $1,000 in rent down in South Florida. But that's anyone's take right there, if you want to try it, because that's where I'm going to be doing, trying to keep myself afloat over there down in the Southeast. Before going on with another article, I want to just go and mention something right now that, I mean, Ohio has a lot to offer. And I will say that right as of right now, if you go to techcrunch.com, you'll see as Ohio being the basically the key feature of basically Columbus, Ohio is like basically TechCrunch's city spotlight, basically, off of their headlines. So if you are interested in reading more, in fact, I'll have the links down below, down in the description, so that way you can read up on so many feature articles. In fact, one of the feature articles that I'm just going to just mention briefly, but I won't get down too much onto the nitty-gritty details of the article pages. One thing I want to put down is Intel chooses Columbus, Ohio to build chips. So this is interesting. I mean, coming from the Intel camp that is choosing to build computer chips right in Columbus. That is awesome. I don't know how to word it. It is pretty cool. And I've never expected Intel to have their chips located in Columbus, which is crazy. I never thought about that way too. But again, I'll have the links down below so that way you can read up on TechCrunch City Spotlight in Columbus, which is one of the feature articles listed on for this week too. So go ahead, check it out as something to look forward reading during your spare time or whatever. So I'll have everything down in the show notes so you guys can read on your own spare time. And now, while I am talking about jobs, now, one of the key things to know what's been happening, even especially I've gone through article after article. Now, there's a lot of, while there's a lot of hiring in other parts of the sectors right there. Now, I have not even realized that there's now been layoffs, and especially in certain workforces now. I mean, right now, I can tell you that the layoffs with these jobs, I don't even know how long that's going to last. In fact, I mean, I hope many of these companies doesn't just disappear. What I think there's been headlines, especially they've said another company I'm going through, which is called A16Z backed Loom lays off 40% of staff 1 year after becoming a unicorn. Now, and that's one of the headlines of that article right there. But man, there's so many, while there are still jobs that are growing, you have pretty much companies that have been around for some time and now laying off their workforce, which is which again a lot that's not doing too well, because for one, the economy, and this is one thing I find hilarious, how they've pointed out this current administration as the top job growers, which for me, that's actually very untrue. The Biden administration is not the president's job grower, which I think he said that I have created more jobs than any presidency combined, which, to tell you the truth, he did not grow any jobs. In fact, a lot of the jobs are grown because of private investments. I mean, first of all, you have a lot of people that have invested into people's ideas and people's works right there too. And plus, and you know, I don't know about you. Now, if you see a workforce, like for instance, there's other like a company I'm sure you guys may recognize called Gemini, and a headline which says here, which I'll just read through a little bit, which says Gemini lays off 10% of workforce as the crypto revolution enters its contraction phase, and then continues on right here. The crypto platform Gemini has cut approximately 10% of its workforce, per co-founders and twin brothers Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss. In a post announcing the news, the duo attributed to layoffs to turbulent market conditions that are likely to persist for some time. All employees will be provided a separation package and healthcare benefits. The company closed its physical offices, the co-founders wrote, so that these conversations will be held remotely to protect the privacy of each implemented individual. Our highest priority throughout will be to treat everyone affected with compassion and respect. And then continues on, the drawback comes as the crypto market at large feels in flux. Other major crypto companies have also been slowing hiring in response to the downturn in prices. Coinbase, Gemini's close competitor, announced plans last month to reverse its prior headcount growth projections. A Latin American crypto exchange, Bitso, let go 80 employees last week. So, geez. And this is one thing, I didn't even know that there's now layoffs, in other sectors as well. Well, you got some good companies that are coming in the forefront. Then you have layoffs as well, too. And so, again, this is economically, this is not doing so well. And I think we're starting to see a lot of the markets not doing well. I mean, right now, as far as the crypto market, if you are strong enough and if you're able to hold on, I think that would be great to hold on where you're at with your positions and don't go out selling the bags, because you're doing a very much of a big disfavor to yourself if you ever sell pretty easily. Now, and I'm sure that some people may have reasons to sell, but again, don't go out and start selling just because of a huge crash. Now, if you are smart, the one thing if you're going to expect is to keep your crypto outside of an exchange. In fact, much more smarter if you do that than you go out and start if you start selling. Because what are you going to go back into trading dollars for if there's no reason to? And plus, on the other hand, I just don't see myself having to go out and sell out already. Because this is not the way to go and to start selling out your positions easily enough to do that. It's not right, but whatever you have to do to pay the bills, you go for it. But I just don't care to go out on the whim and start selling fast because of a big hurricane coming in, crashing down. To me, you don't want to do that and start panicking to a moment like that too. I mean, sure, there's going to be difficulties in the market, just like anything else. There's always going to be big difficulties, and this is not the time to start panicking. And I think if it's just me, and I think if you are a smart crypto investor, I say yes, go ahead and put your money outside of central exchanges, because if you start putting them in centralized exchanges, and let's say if one day the company goes bankrupt, or for some reason your money gets lost because due to a major hack, like let's say if Gemini, Kraken, or OKCoin gets into a crash, and if you start to put it in an exchange, that's that, even though they say it's not it is safe to put it in, you'll never know what's going to be safe the next day. In fact, there was an exchange many years ago, and I don't, my memory's not that short, but I remember when I was learning about Bitcoin for the very first time many years ago. That was back in 2013. And you have to remember, I was ahead of everyone before everyone started to jump on board on Bitcoin and crypto. And I remember early on where there was an exchange early on called Mt. Gox. And one of the things I remember was that that exchange got shut down because, if I remembered correctly, was that was operated in Japan, and for some reason the state, or the country, if I'm getting this correctly, they have shut down the exchanges because due to certain reasons, and plus Bitcoin at the time was actually a very, very new thing, and nobody understood why. Why? What's going on? In fact, there was a guy that was under the operations of Mt. Gox. It was shut down because he had no choice but to have it shut down because due to pressure to the state. And I believe he did get arrested. But right now, I don't want to think so negatively that your exchange is going to go fall out of place because due to I don't know, just due to political situations happening beyond our control. I don't even think that will go that far over here as far as I'm concerned. But I just wouldn't ever put my crypto in exchange because I'm sure, yes, if you're wondering, have I had an exchange once before? The answer, I will be honest, is yes, I've had. But I wouldn't ever do that because if that was one thing is, if let's say if a company ever goes out of business and for some reason you're trying to get your crypto out of the exchange, and if you cannot keep it there, sorry, you just can't. And there's an saying that goes, a big old saying right now in the crypto community, if it's not your keys, it is not your coins. And that is the big truth. And besides, many of those central exchanges relies on adding a credit card. And for me, it's like, well, if you're going to put anything in a credit card, if you bought your Bitcoin using USDs or GD or GBPs, then yes, that is considered yours. But however, I mean, right now, just like anything, many of these coins that you bought, I'm sure you have to go through KYC regulations. I mean, go through verifications before making the purchase of a crypto. And that's one thing I would do it unless if I wanted to go ahead and start buying off right there. And to me, I am very open to going in and making that purchase via USDs through crypto. Because if I really want to put the money, I think that's great. But again, if you want to escape out of KFC, not having to go through any KFC regulations, then of course mining will be another option because that right there is untraceable and nobody cannot trace any of your Bitcoins right there too if you end up mining. Because one of the things about mining, I think it is unique. While there is a threshold, but you can't really go out and report it because I don't think the U.S. government will be able to tax you through mining. But if you're doing anything, let's say buying through an exchange or getting your crypto through another service to switch your dollars or your pounds over with that, then I think you do have to report how much you've spent your dollars from through whatever crypto you paid off right there too. Again, I would say look into a tax advisor on this, and anyone that is very, very knowledgeable on crypto. But I know that laws do change every year, so I'm not a professional per se because I don't want to give out the wrong information to you guys too, because I know you guys want me to give out accurate information as much as possible. But I think, but if you look at it this way, not that I think, but I do know that crypto in the United States is heavily, heavily regulated in the United States. And if that's an indicator, when Gemini is laying off many of its workforce, I would say just be careful when you're putting it into an exchange. And if that company is, I don't know, for some miracle that is still in business, then I think it's great, but don't rely on it if it ends up shutting down, because then otherwise you're going to have to go out go out of your way and start moving your assets around, because that's a part that's going to end up being a pain in the ass to do, and having to move back and forth to move your crypto elsewhere too. Again, there's a lot of uncertainty as of right now. I mean, as far as certain sectors of that the tech sectors that are doing well as far as the hiring, but then the other certain tech workforces that are on a layoff right now because due to the unstable markets, and that's something we're starting to see right now. Because, I mean, heck, this is not just coming out from me. I'm going through articles. I mean, in fact, a lot of these insurance tech or these startups. I mean, right now, I mean, sure, they've got major fundings from angel investors and everything else, but you really want to be careful. Be very cautious of what's going on right there. Because right now, I mean, if it was me, I mean, sure, crypto is going to be a very challenging move. But like I've said, be absolutely careful when you're getting into a position like that, because you do not know when a company is going to continue to stay afloat forever. So, anyways, there's a lot that I already talked on, and pretty much put my point on the last segment. But I know that I think as soon, or if not even much sooner, I'll end up doing quite of a follow up too, because I know the summer of 2022, the way I'm seeing it, it's starting to become very interesting more and more as I see it. But man, this is coming to be a very interesting time in our decade, but again, very dark period too in our lifetime right now. So, making the close on today's show. Also, I wanted to go ahead and let everyone know that the last couple days ago, back on Sunday, was my 31st birthday. So I just turned 31 back Sunday. So the one thing I would say with my birthday was, disappointingly, I wish I could have hanged out with the boys and had some barbecue and went out and eat. But one of our guys got sick, and it was quite disappointing, because I would have loved to have some food, some burgers, and why not, and instead of having to stay home and having to order pizza. But you know, that's fine. And honestly though, the one thing I'd say is that, hey, look, I know that a lot of people are going through some illness, and I know that would suck for me if I had to come back home and then start coughing up some flu like symptoms, you know. And I think it is okay, but at the same time, I mean, it was cool that, and to point it out this way, it was very, very cool that I went out and had a good time playing Resident Evil 7 live on Twitch over the weekend, and that was my weekend there. And now, honestly though, that was one thing I do miss as a tradition when I gone out and started celebrating my birthdays. It's definitely different, because this year it wasn't the same. And I also kind of say that, for one, I wasn't out with people like I've normally done in the past. Families separated. Everyone has lives right now. And honestly though, this year was very odd, because normally I would go out. And sadly enough, the way things are at it, and I don't know what it is, and especially with people and how people have got so sick easily, I don't know. Like, it's not, I wouldn't want to put the blame down on the virus, right? And for me, when my friend was tested positive for COVID, I mean, was I surprised? I'm not sure if I was surprised, but it makes me wonder if his test results are actually accurate though. But I'm not going to even speculate on that too. But again, I almost feel a little bit disappointed that I didn't go well, because normally when I've gone out, I remember going out with family members and hanging out with my birthday, but everything just seems very odd and very different, because while you have the remote time spending, I mean, a lot of people spend it remotely. I mean, with nowadays with going into phone calls, making connection with people and stuff like that too. And while I am good with that, and I'm happy that I always go through calling with friends and family, that the holidays and the birthdays I remember too. But may God, it seems very off, out of place, because and I'm sure that a lot of people are still going through talking about COVID, okay? And I understand that doesn't go away. But the fact is that if you are just experiencing mild symptoms like a cold, that's nothing, right? And the way people are saying is that, you're going to have to go ahead and keep your doors closed and keep yourself isolated from anyone coming in. I don't know how bad that is. And I haven't even had the worst case of the worst cases from what other people have experienced, quote unquote experiencing. And that's kind of what pissed me off, because it's like, are you even experiencing COVID, or are you experiencing the flu? First of all, there's a huge difference when it comes down to it too. And to me, I don't want to go into a tangent, because that's not my purpose for making the close of the episode, right? And to me, even if it's not hanging out with friends in IRL, to me, I personally like the enjoyment with an IRL session than I would with remote conversation. And to me, there's much more of a fun interaction. A lot of people come together. And that's one of the things, is that maybe it's just the loneliness and having to go through things by yourself. And yeah, and it is true though, because a lot of people do not, there are some certain aspects that, yeah, maybe it's because people are busy. And that could be true as well, but I don't know. But it felt very strange. And it really did, because I don't know how I should put it, because it's like, wow. And people have no choice but to isolate for 10 days. And I don't know if that's the case for everybody. And I know an older friend that he is old in his close to his mid 60s. So I understand his part, and I get that too. And I remember there was a part of me, like whenever I've got sick, you know, and to me, people, you know, this is one thing that is a bit weird, where when people got sick, people. There's some people that were sick, and sometimes they had to work during their sick days, because, and I remember there was a time, like, I'm sure before COVID, I'm sure, yeah, there are reasons to stay at home if you were having a very bad cold or whatever infections that you had. Yes, go ahead, don't spread it to everybody. That I agree with right there too. But I remember when I was with family, this was me for many years ago. I remember when I got sick, my dad would not let me home on my birthdays. And I remember I would used to hang out with families, and that was the times when hanging out with a family. And that was a really cool thing when doing so too. And I remember when I got sick, I tried to make the best out of it and got up, get my ass up and do what I had to do too. And nowadays, it's like when you're sick, you have to be isolated for 10 days, which doesn't make sense. Now, if you are very bad in shape, I totally get it. But when you're young and you have a kick-ass immune system like I do, then there's no reason for you to stay at home. I mean, the best thing for you, I mean, besides as I that talk about technology, you know, you have to get your ass going and start doing that too. Doing what you have to do, you know, and to me, and the fact that where people think that it is okay to keep yourself in clothes all the time. Well, like if that's going to do anything to fight a virus off. I mean, the best thing for anybody to do is to sweat off that virus and kick its ass. You know, and that's the thing about, like, I just don't understand with so many people is they want to isolate themselves for that long to and keep away from other people. And then what's the point of doing that too? I never understood that as far as I can see. Though I'm not going to take it too bad because I've had some things to do during that day of my birthday, so I didn't take it that bad. But the cool thing I will say that later on to make up lost times for that day of my birthday, I have a concert coming up, so that's one thing to make up the lost times and end up going to a cool concert, which, by the way, I am very excited because it's been over 2 years since I've been to any music concerts at all. And this year, actually, I haven't bought my tickets yet, but I'll end up doing that as soon as I can before the tickets sell out over in the Atlanta Symphony Hall, which is Distant Worlds music from Final Fantasy, which I cannot wait. I've been wanting to see them for years, and I wanted to see the concert for a very, very long time, which features a lot of Final Fantasy featured music, which from all the Final Fantasy game series, which is pretty epic in my opinion, and I love that. So I can't wait and to get around to celebrating my belated birthday on that too. So that would be fun at all. But anyways, just to keep the episode to a close and not to try to ramble too long, but man, it's been a good moment since my last podcast, and I'm happy to be doing this again, and I can't wait to do more episodes with you guys, and down the road we go. So anyways, let's go ahead and kick this off and continue doing more podcasting and more long tech talks like this, because honestly, I really miss the vibes doing this, because, man, I don't know. I truly miss doing solo episodes and talking about news and new different experience in my mind. And sure, it may not. And this is one thing about the Leon the Great podcast, this tech podcast I love doing, is each podcast episode is different and very different from each other. It's not always the same elongated story all the time, and especially I try not to make it a big story for more than an hour, and I try to keep you guys engaged as much as I can, because a lot of times I hear podcasts and they go and ramble when they go nowhere with these episodes right there. And to me, I try to make the best as possible to make a good quality podcast episodes as much as I can. So, and to me, that is something I enjoy doing so. Now, if you've listened to me far within this episode, I like to go out and say, out of the whim, and say thank you to all that stayed through and listened to this episode 183 of the Leon LaGrey podcast, Crypto Market Crash edition. And this is something I'm very happy that I've done it, and I can't believe I've spent time making more than an hour and 10 minutes podcast. So this is pretty impressive and pretty long podcast I've done so far. But anyways, if you like this long formatted version, please let me know in the comments and everywhere else, so that way I can do more of this long tech talk or long formation talk, so that way I can continue doing that. So with that said, we're gonna go and put the episode on a close, and I'm very happy to be back. So let's continue doing this every week, every single time. And with that said, I am out. Your boy, Leon the Gray, it is out. Take care. Have a great star of the weekend. And goodbye. Hey guys, thanks for taking a listen to episode 183. If you love what you listen to, be sure to follow, subscribe to me over at the podcast services of your choice, such as Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and much, much more. So with that said, take care, everyone, and I'll see you around over on episode 184. Take care.